Welcome to Calvary Church, where we are dedicated to loving God and loving people. If you want to know more about us, please check us out online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message from our lead pastor, Stephen McDonald.
All right. Happy festive sweater Sunday, Calvary. That's right. I'm representing here today on the day when we're celebrating joy, letting my lights shine today a little bit. Now, today in the house, there are some wonderful Christmas fashion on display. Some choices are brilliant. Some are tragic, actually. But what would a festive sweater Sunday be without a few ugly sweaters? But it's a great day for joy, to have a little bit of fun. I also want to thank all of you. Over the last couple of weeks here at the church, we've got our Christmas spirit tree. And you've all been very generous to help children in need around the world. And so your donations have helped our missionaries get the gospel message to the kids in different parts of the world, help them to experience the joy of Christmas with all of us. So again, thank you so much. You know, that first Christmas night when the angels spoke to the shepherds, the breaking news of the day was joy. It was all about joy. If you've got your Bibles, turn with me to Luke chapter 2. Let's look at verses 8 through 11. And it says, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord.'" Talk about joy. You know, one of the most common commands throughout the New Testament is the word rejoice. It's that encouragement to rejoice or to feel or express joy. And the good news of great joy wasn't just for the shepherds to guide them to the newborn king so many years ago. It's for each of us today in the world that we live in. Yes, it's an important part of biblical history, but Christ is alive and he is well, and he dwells with all of us in the here and now. And how thankful are we for that, that joy gives us incredible strength today. Today we continue with episode 3 of our new Comfort and Joy message series leading up to Christmas as we celebrate the season of Advent together and experience the joy and the light of Christ. Each week our Calvary families have been a part of our services and they've done an outstanding job lighting the new candle and reading the scripture as we move towards finishing the season of Advent on Christmas Eve by lighting the Christ candle. But as we get closer to the big day, I think it's easy for many people to just lose sight a little bit of the joy of Christmas when so many people today are just trying to survive whatever is coming next. But God says, listen, hey, don't forget that my joy is released through you and in you. And it can happen in every situation that you're navigating. So I think we need to hold on to that. We need to hold on to the joy of that first Christmas message. And then let our lives shine for Christ at this season of the year during Christmas so that everyone can see our joy and experience what we have experienced. And that doesn't mean what we're experiencing is perfection or that we don't have challenges or hardships. It just means that through them that we walk with his joy, especially now in the day that we're living in, where the world is thirsting for it, like water in a desert. C.S. Lewis once said, "Joy is the serious business of heaven." And sometimes we can experience joy in our lives here on earth in the most unexpected of ways. Sometimes it's a simple text just from somebody that cares for you. Maybe it's a telephone call. Maybe it's a praying for somebody or with somebody at church. Maybe a new friend. Or receiving a gift when there's absolutely no reason for it. You ever had that in your life where somebody just gives you something because they were thinking about you? They were praying for you. I think some of the most thoughtful gifts are gifts like that. Where it doesn't happen because it's your birthday. It doesn't happen just because it's Christmas, but because someone's in your corner. That's an incredible thing. Now, if you come on Sunday on any given week, one of our all-star Team Calvary members will be at the door or in the foyer with a huge smile, and some of you have probably been welcomed by her on many occasions, but she's like walking, talking, like a bundle of joy. And occasionally, she will give Susan and I, Pastor Susan and I, a gift. And we're always feeling that good news of great joy when we see her coming with these homemade empanadas that she makes. Like, incredible. And so it's always a wonderful little gift and a great surprise. But you can literally taste the joy of the Lord in every bite. That joy that's in her, that joy that makes her want to be a blessing to us and to other people. It's a wonderful thing. You know, we're blessed. We're really, truly blessed to be a part of a church community that is filled with great joy and filled with people that are not afraid to share it. You know, Christmas, I think for many people, is filled with wonder. Most of us would agree on that. And for some, it paints kind of a romantic hallmark, kind of a picture that people can temporarily escape to. Kind of puts a pause on everyday life and allows them to just kind of park it for a little while. But if romance and nostalgia are the source of our holiday joy, then they will disappear as quickly as they appear. Kind of like a mirage, promising something that's not even there. That's why at this season, many people are grabbing on desperately to momentary joy. But for them, it's like a holiday fantasy that you turn on and you turn off. And then it expires, just like the tree in our living room at Christmas, right? And so when we look for joy in our traditions, instead of celebrating it through our traditions, then joy kind of short circuits in our lives. That's because our Christmas traditions should never supply it. They were never meant to supply the joy that we need in their life. They really are meant to reflect the joy that we have deep within us. And if we want to be filled with the kind of joy that strengthens us, the kind of joy that Scripture talks about, that brings that kind of reinforcement to our life, then I think that at this time of the year, we need to focus less on the holiday itself and more on the who behind that indestructible, unspeakable joy. Who is that? Because Jesus is joy. And so when he abides within you, everything changes. And you have a strength that is much different than what you can muster on your own. You see, the Father sent the Son as the fullness of God so that we could be, you know, changed. And that sin that filled us could be emptied. And then we could be refilled with his great joy. If you got your Bibles, turn with me to Psalm chapter 16. Let's look at verse 11. It says, "You make known to me the path of life. You fill me with joy," or you release that joy in my life, in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. John 15:11 says, "I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." You know, Christmas is for you to know Christ. Christmas is for you to know his love and to be filled with the fullness of our joyful God. That's what he wants for you. And things simply looking and feeling a lot like Christmas isn't what releases joy within us, especially if it doesn't help us see and experience the Savior of the season. So I want to encourage you to take time to quiet yourself during this season of Advent, this season of waiting. and to embrace the good news of great joy that the angel promised. I think it's interesting that when we hear good news, when somebody tells us something, that we immediately hope it's true. And the opposite is true if we hear bad news, right? If bad news comes, we hope that what we're hearing is not true. Whether that's a medical diagnosis that you don't want to hear about your life or about someone that you love. Maybe somebody's job has changed. Maybe a friend is in distress. Whatever it is, if it's bad news, we're just like, man, I don't want to believe that that's true. But when we hear good news, when we hear that somebody's been promoted, that they got a good report from the doctor, maybe somebody's been engaged, those kind of things, that kind of good news, we hope to be true. We dig into. You know, when Jesus' birth was announced, it could have been announced in many different ways. It could have been announced in many different words and to different types of people. But when that news came, it brought hope to people where they're like, I want this to be true. And the breaking news of the day from the angels was, I bring you good news of great joy. That's the kind of news that will change your life forever. And here's the shocker of the day, especially at that time, but it's true just as much today. That good news is not just for certain types of people. It's not just for the elite. It's not just for the religious or the healthy or one nationality or another. No, the scripture says it's good news for all people. That good news of great joy is for everyone. And that's the wonderful thing, because even in Jesus' day, there was people that felt more deserving than others. And that drags into our modern day living, where people feel entitled to that kind of joy that is dependent upon your wealth or your station in life. But this news, the good news of great joy, was for all of us. In fact, the news was so good that they titled the whole thing the gospel, which simply means good story. So we didn't have to pay an ad agency millions of dollars to come up with what we were going to call this mission that God has given us. It was simply calling it what it was, the good story, the gospel. The gospel has changed us, the good news of why he came. But why do some Christ followers seem to want to keep it to themselves? It always baffles me when someone says, oh, you know what, I have a strong faith. I believe what you're saying, but it's a private thing to me. Well, if you read your Bible, you'd know that that's not true. It's not a private thing. It's something that we need to let shine within our lives. Because if we're ashamed of him, he'll be ashamed of us when we stand before his Father. So let's let that light shine. And why are some people who claim to follow him, who claim to celebrate the good news, seem to want to get on social media and just write all kinds of crazy, nasty, negative things, but they can't be bothered to share anything about the good news of great joy? I don't understand that. What happened? What happened to the good news even in the world today? Because sometimes that news is under fire. But I think maybe what happened is we happened. Now, I don't mean we directly, maybe sometimes it does apply, but I say we generally because the gospel message, the good news, is oftentimes misrepresented, sadly. And perhaps there's some fault that we too can step up and own in and within our own lives. Because over the years, the message of the gospel has become mixed. Many people have gone out there to politicize the good news. Others have anti-intellectualized it or monetized it or weaponized it. And even more have internalized the good news. And by internalized, I mean that some have reduced it to something that they say they believe, but it doesn't influence or affect the way that they live. Joy becomes a concept that we agree with, but never release in our lives. Some have reduce the good news to fire insurance, right? Just because they're terrified of what's to come next. I better do this. I better pray this prayer just in case, right? And then many of those same people will privatize it in the way that they live. But we need to know that it's not just about what you say you believe. It's about how what you believe affects how you live your life. How do we treat others? How do you release this joy that we're talking about in your lives? Because let's face it, a self-serving gospel is not good news for anybody. You can't just pick and choose the parts of Scripture that you want and ignore the rest. So that brings us to a question. When we stand in front of the mirror, what about me? What about us? Am I good news? Or what about you? Are you? As a Jesus follower, are you good news of great joy for all people? Who has he called us to be? You know, one day Jesus was teaching the people who were gathered to follow him, and he answered this question. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 and 16 says, you, he's talking about all of the people that were gathered, but even beyond that, he's talking about us, you are the light of the world. Now, in their day, it wasn't just talking about Judea and Samaria, because for many of those people that were listening to Jesus, their world wasn't much bigger than 25 miles in every direction. But Jesus was talking about their world, but he was also talking about ours. He was talking about all of it. He's talking about everyone who could receive the good news of great joy. He says, let your light shine before others. As joy was released in our lives, as it is released, we then can in turn release it to other people, that they may see your good deeds. That's good deeds from the good news, not just speaking the words, not just, yeah, I say this, but I live it in my life. It affects everything that I do, and that joy that I'm so excited about or that I say that I am should be released in how I live to glorify our Father in heaven. I think in that moment, there were some people who suddenly kind of were hearing those words and had a light go on inside of them for the first time. They began to see themselves differently, just like we can today. I want to close with this challenge, and I want you to take it with you through the holidays. I want you to be the good news of great joy. Don't just believe it. Don't just say it's something that you accept. I want you to be it, to be that joy. You are the light of the world, so don't hide it. When you are the good news, a joy is released from your life that can and will change the world that we live in. God sent his Son into this world to establish a brand new kind of relationship between man and God. This is a very powerful thing, a new covenant. And on that very first Christmas, this brand new covenant arrangement was announced to humble shepherds as good news of great joy to all people. God gave joy to the shepherds in four simple ways, the same four ways that he comes to you and I, the same four ways that he comes to those that we're reaching out with his love to. The first one is God came to them where they were. Wherever you are today, that's where God wants to meet you. Second thing is that God came to them as they were. He didn't ask them to clean themselves up first. He's not asking you to do the same. He's asking wherever you are right now, whatever condition you're in, that's where his joy is coming to meet you. And then third, God moved them from where they were. He called them to a place of action, to do something about what they saw and what they heard. And then number four, God changed them from what they were. He transformed them. He didn't just come to have you accept who he was. He wants to change you. He wants to transform you to be everything that he's called you to be. And to let that light, that joy shine. An atheist once made this remark to a group of Christians. I thought it was kind of comical. But he says, if you want me to believe in your Redeemer, then you better start looking a lot more redeemed. Some of you say you're full of joy and it's your strength. But you need to notify your face. You know, if we're going to make an impact on the world that we live in, we have to reflect that great joy everywhere we go. The good news will cause great joy in all people. Psalm 107, verse 22, let them tell of his works with songs of joy. That's the kind of thing that comes from deep within you. And that should bubble over in our lives every day. And that light that shines doesn't have to be battery driven. It comes from a place of knowledge of who you are and who God's called you to be in this world. And that, to me, is the most exciting thing of all. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for the joy of the Lord that is our strength. I pray for each person today that we would recognize the call that's upon each of us to take the good news of great joy to all people, not just the people we think deserve it, but to all people, the same way that it came to us. We thank you that you've transformed us, that news on that night to the shepherds is still as powerful today as we hear it with our own ears. I pray that we would tell the world, that our lives would be a testimony of that joy, especially during this Christmas season. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. God's best, Calvary. Make sure this week is an opportunity to keep inviting people to our Christmas Eve services. So our series continues until Christmas Eve, but invite them out. Come and be a part of our services at 3, 4:30, and 6 o'clock, and bring a friend. Don't just invite them, bring them with you. So we look forward to seeing you there.